My Lenten sermon series is focused on the Sermon on the Mount because in it, Jesus proposes his model for how a community united by faith should function. So let's begin today's episode about being people of salt and light. Let's begin by talking baseball. My father lives in Southern California. Many of you have met him on occasional visits. Because of his wife's work in the nonprofit world, he used to attend a lot of charity events. And at one such event, he became acquainted with a fellow who works with the Association for Retired Major League Baseball Umpires. And as they chatted, at one point, this fellow told my father that when it comes to calling balls and strikes, there are three kinds of umpires. First, there's the kind who say, "I call them as I see them." We've all heard that. Then there's the kind of umpire who says about calling balls and strikes, "I call them as they are." And then finally, there are the umpires who say about pitches, "They're nothing until I call them." Now, there's certainly a bit of ego showing from behind the chest protectors and masks, but that last attitude is an example of something that we actually encounter in today's gospel reading. When it comes to calling balls and strikes, the umpires who say they're nothing until I call them, they are illustrating what is called performative language. Performative language. Performative language does not merely describe something that already is, but it brings into being the reality that it declares. In the umpire's case, unless the batter swings at it, regardless of where it's thrown, a pitch is just a pitch until the umpire declares it a ball or strike. It's the umpire saying it that makes it so. A minister pronouncing a couple husband and wife. Another example, a judge pronouncing a sentence on a convicted felon. Another example of performative language, language that brings into being the reality that it declares. Now, the Bible contains examples of performative language. Isaiah presents God speaking in performative language, writing, "Just as the rain and the snow come down from the sky and don't return there without watering the earth, making it conceive and yield plants and providing seed to the sower and food to the eater, so is my word that comes from my mouth, says the Lord. It does not return to me empty. Instead, it does what I want and accomplishes what I intend." God's word is performative language. And this morning, we heard performative language on the lips of Jesus. Remember, in his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is addressing three audiences. We talked about this last week. First, there's the people gathered on the hillside overlooking the Sea of Galilee, and then there's the audience that Matthew wrote his gospel for, Jewish followers of Jesus in the early decades of the Christian movement. And then third, Jesus is talking to the generations that came after those earliest Christian believers, including talking to you and me through these long-preserved words. So what was Jesus saying then? And what is he still saying today? He uses metaphors of salt and light to describe all who choose to follow where he leads. We are to be salt. We are to be light. Not we individually, but we collectively. So what did he mean? What difference would that make? Actually, that's his point. Christians are to be difference makers in the world. So let's think for a moment what difference, what impact is made by common, ordinary things like salt and light. Salt is everywhere. 96% of the world's water, salt water. The water in our bodies is about as salty as salt water. Of course, we know that we are living atop an enormous vein of salt, just a couple hundred feet that way. We may resent it when our vehicles develop road salt stains during the winter season, but we sure are relieved when we are trying to navigate slippery, snow-covered streets and highways and we see a plow truck spreading road salt. You've probably heard that the word salary derives from the Latin word for salt because Roman soldiers were sometimes paid in salt. Salt's not only an important part of one's diet, but in ancient times, through recent centuries actually, salt was a valuable commodity because of its use in preservation of food, especially fish and meat. And here's something I just learned. You know how eating together is sometimes referred to by the quaint term of breaking bread? Well, back when Matthew's gospel was written, it was common to refer to the act of dining with others, to refer to that as sharing salt. Sharing salt. I hadn't known that before. So Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." And thus, we are. We are salt because by Jesus saying it, made it so. As people who claim Jesus as our master and brother, our guide through life and our spiritual savior, we are to be salt in that potluck of daily life, adding a unique, undeniable, life-giving zest to the world we live in. Jesus also said, "You are the light of the world." Now, we've heard this metaphor before. Sometimes it's used for God. For instance, the psalmist described how his Israelite ancestors were able to enter the promised land. And in Psalm 44, the psalmist declared to God that it was not by their own strength or cleverness. He wrote, "No, it was by your strong hand, O God, your arm, and the light of your face, because you were pleased with them." Sometimes the metaphor of light is used for God. In the New Testament, the first letter of John declares, "God is light, and in God there is no darkness at all." Jesus used that metaphor to describe his own nature. In John chapter 8, verse 12, we're told Jesus spoke to the people again, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me won't walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." But now Jesus is telling us, "You are the light of the world." In both the metaphors of salt and light, note the condition that Jesus adds. We're not salt simply to spice up our own lives. We're not light merely to draw attention to ourselves. No, we are to be salt for the earth. We're to be the light of the world. Jesus directs us to help the world get a taste of what life can be like when we care for one another, especially when we care for the disadvantaged and disenfranchised, rather than taking advantage of whoever we can for whatever we can get. Jesus challenges us to help the world see how his way of caring for others and his devotion for God is life-giving. We help the world see the power of his way by what we as a Christian congregation stand for, by what we do, by how we engage the world we live in. Professor from Pittsburgh Theological Seminary added this. He says, the church needs to remember constantly that it is in fact not the light itself, but only the window through which the light of Christ is to be seen. We are the window through which the light of Christ is to be seen. Jesus adds two cautions. First, he warns that salt that loses its saltiness becomes worthless and might as well be thrown underfoot or maybe spread on an icy road. Now, salt doesn't actually lose its properties as salt, but it can be mixed with other stuff to such a great degree that its impurity renders it basically useless. It's so diluted you'd never notice it. And then Jesus warns that the purpose of light is defeated if you hide it under a basket or a flower pot, or perhaps behind the closed doors of a building. Light is meant to be shown, to be shared, illuminating, readily apparent. So what Jesus is telling those believers on the hillside and these believers at the bottom of the hill is to be sure that we are noticed because of our faith in him. If people can't tell by what we say and what we do that we stand for Jesus in our world, then we've allowed our faith to be diluted like a handful of salt in a bushel full of soil. We've allowed the hope of our faith to be hidden like a light bulb glowing in a closed-off room. If in the eyes of the world, our church is indistinguishable from a chamber of commerce or a book club or a sorority or a fine arts society, then we are not being effective in sharing the salt, the light, that is our confident trust in God through Jesus Christ. Now, in being salt and light for our community, Jesus doesn't ask us to be annoying, to be obnoxious, to be judgmental, to be snooty. That would be counterproductive. I mean, who enjoys associating with people who act like that? But still, Jesus says to the crowd, to the church, let your light shine before others so they can see the good things you do and praise your Father who is in heaven. And so individually, yes, but even more as a church, Jesus urges us to be salt. He urges us to be light. Let our life as a faith community, let our work as God's agents in the world embody the words of the psalmist. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him.